the proposition brought tonight, this one night, which is the last night of the discussion, the Holy Scriptures authorize the use of mechanical instrumental music in the worship of the church today. Brother Albert Batts will affirm, Brother Gus Nichols will deny. At this time, Brother Batts.
Opponent, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad of this privilege to stand before you tonight to discuss a subject that there's great controversy over throughout the nation. In order to redeem the time, I want the 150th Psalm to go in the record, but we won't take time to read it. Our subject tonight is the Scriptures authorize the use of instrumental music in church worship. When we were planning this discussion, I asked some on the other side why unbalance the program with this one particular subject, which would put me in the affirmative more than my neighbor. And the answer was that music in the church is an issue in this community. And I said, if I know anything about it, it is an issue throughout the nation. In Galatians, the third chapter, and verse 8 through 17, the Apostle Paul said, God preached the gospel 430 years before the law of Moses, the gospel. In Romans 15 and 4, the Apostle Paul, referring to the Old Testament, said, whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. Our, meaning the New Testament church members. In 2 Peter 1 and 18 and 21, the Apostle Peter said he heard God the Father speak from glory when he was with his Son in the Mount. But it said, we have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto we will do well to take heed. In Revelation 19 and 10, we're told that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for doctrine. And is good for doctrine. The doctrine tonight is music in the church worship today. Now I know the Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:15, rightly dividing the word of truth so as not to be ashamed. So here's a statement I hope will impress every mind, please, every mind. Every doctrine in the Old Testament is good and binding upon us today unless fulfilled or replaced by New Testament doctrine.
Unless fulfilled or replaced by New Testament doctrine. First thought I want to consider is the Sabbath day, briefly. The Sabbath day was introduced in the Old Testament. The same testament that introduced the Sabbath day predicted its duration and end.
both in the Old and the New Testament. If the Old Testament or the New Testament had predicted the fulfilling and the end of the Sabbath day, it would be binding upon us today. Then circumcision. Circumcision is found in the Old Bible, but in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, we're told that circumcision was replaced with the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit in Romans 2:28 and 29. Under the Old Testament, they burn incense. In the first chapter of Isaiah, the prophet, speaking of the time of grace to come, said that the burning of incense would be abolished. In Isaiah 66, speaking of the grace period, the church, he said, "He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol." But circumcision and burning of incense would be binding upon us today if the scriptures had not made mention of the fact that they were fulfilled. Another thought, in the Old Testament, they built places of worship called the house of God. There's nothing said in the New Testament about building a building to worship in. But no one would say it's sinful. Though there's nothing in the New Testament for it. Except the text that I use tonight. All scripture is inspired and good for doctrine. So since in the Old Testament they did build the house of God a place to worship, nothing in the Old Bible said they would not build in the New Testament, and nothing in the New Testament opposing it. It is all right and holy and our duty to build churches today. There's nothing in the New Testament about having a pulpit in the church. But there is something in the Old Bible, in the book of Ezra, that had a pulpit to aid them in preaching and teaching the Word of God. If the Old Bible had said there would be no pulpit in the New Testament church, or if the New Testament church had opposed it, then today it would be sinful to have a pulpit. Long before the law of Moses, men began to pray and to call upon God. It was endorsed by the Old and the New Testament, and is still in order to call upon God. In the Old Testament, they sang with music, and it's nothing in the Old Bible or in the New Testament to oppose it. Therefore, it is not sinful to have music in the divine worship today. Furthermore, it is not sinful, but it's taught in the Bible, ordained and commanded of God. The first time and the last time in the Bible the word singing is found, it was accompanied by instruments of music. Genesis 31 and 27, and Revelation 15 and 23. When the children of Israel came out of bondage, from Egypt's bondage, they celebrated with rejoicing and singing and music. Gideon the 300 won a battle for God over many hundreds of thousands as they worshipped and rejoiced and blew the horn for the glory of God. Joshua lay with his church, tore down the wall of opposition, and the hearts of the enemies melted. while they worshiped God and blew the horn and praised the Lord. When God called King Saul, he received a new heart, became a new man, and filled with the Holy Spirit in a musical program. When Elijah, the great prophet of God, in 2 Kings 3:16, was called upon to prophesy, it seems he didn't have a text, subject, or a message. He said, "Bring on the instrument." And while they were playing, the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied. 2 Chronicles 29:25, we're told that God, not David, God commanded music in the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14, the man said, "The glory of God filled the house of the Lord as they worshiped and praised God upon the instruments of music." In 2 Chronicles 29:25 and in Revelation 15:2, we have these words, "Music is of God." Is of God. In Mark 14:26, the Bible said they sang a hymn. If you look at the word hymn in the original, it's psalm. Romans 15:9-11, the Gentiles were to rejoice and sing. Look it up in the original, in the Greek. The Gentiles were to rejoice and praise God upon the psalm, which is an instrument of music. 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul said, "I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." The word "sing" there is twice in our English Bible, but in the original it is psalm. 1 Corinthians 14:15 and 1 Corinthians 14:26, writing to the church, "You have a song." In Ephesians 5:19, God says, "Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the heart." Colossians 3:16, it said, "Teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart." James 5:13, "In the sick among you, let them pray. In the merry, let them sing songs." How much time do we have, sir?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Music in the church service is taught in the New Testament also. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul wrote unto the church. And in the same letter, he wrote, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine." 1 Corinthians 14:26. Remember that whatever psalm is, the church had one, and when they came together, they used it. The word psalm in the Hebrew language, the definition is instrumental music with a psalm. The Chaldean translation in our English is a song accompanied by instrumental music. Psalm in this text from the original Greek, according to Strong's exhaustive concordance in the Greek, is a piece of music, a sacred ode, accompanied with a voice, a harp, or some other instrument. To play on the harp, to play on a string instrument, and to celebrate the divine service with music. It takes the combination of both the vocal and the instrumental to have a psalm. Webster tells us that a psalm is a song sung to a harp. The New Century Dictionary says it is a song sung in the harp to pluck the strings of an instrument and to sing. Matthew Henry describes in Ephesians 5:19, the psalm means a song sung with musical instruments.
Amen.
Moderators, ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted, as I'm sure all of you are, to be here this evening for the purpose of studying this subject of a perversion of New Testament worship. The proposition, the Holy Scriptures authorize the use of mechanical instrumental music in the worship of the church today. My opponent must have been excited or something. He forgot to define his proposition. The rules by which we have agreed to be governed say that the precise point of issue in a proposition must be so clearly defined that there can be no misunderstanding concerning them. I took up several minutes in defining my proposition. Well, I was in the affirmative because we had agreed that I'd do this. I insist that my friend define his proposition, because he has not told us what he means by the terms of his proposition. And the rules require that. Hedges' rules of controversy, by which we are to be governed. First of all, I want to read some statements copied here from encyclopedias concerning the use of mechanical instrumental music and under the Christian dispensation and when it had its origin. I read now from the American Encyclopedia, Volume 12, page 688. Pope Vitalian is related to have first introduced organs into some of the churches of Western Europe about 670. But the earliest trustworthy account is that of one sent as a present by the Greek Emperor Constantine Copronymus to King of the Franks in 755 A.D. 600 years this side of Pentecost, this side of the New Testament church, this side of the apostles. The earliest trustworthy account that we have of it, way down there. Pick another one. This time from Chambers' Encyclopedia, Volume 7, and page 112, the organ is said to have been first introduced into church music by Pope Vitalian I in 666. In 757, a great organ was sent as a present to Beijing by the Byzantine Emperor Constantine Copronymus and placed in the church of St. Cornelia at Tianjin. Soon after Charlemagne's time, organs became common. And then John Calvin, the illustrious founder of the great Calvinistic theory, the Presbyterian denomination, says, musical instruments in celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting of lamps, and the respiration of other shadows of the law. The papists, therefore, Catholics have foolishly borrowed this, as well as many other things, from the Jews, when we were fond of outward pomp, maybe lighter than that noise, but the simplicity which God recommends to us by the apostles is far more pleasing to Him. Paul allowed us to bless God in the perfect assembly of the saints only in a known tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:16. What shall we say then of chanting, which fills the ears with nothing but an empty sound? His commentary on Psalms 33. And then Theodore Beza, the great Genevian scholar and translator, who was a friend and coadjutor of Calvin says, if the apostle justly prohibits the use of unknown tongues in the church, much less would he have tolerated these artificial musical performances, which will address the ear alone and seldom strike the understanding, even of the performers themselves. Gardell's Institutes of Music, page 166. I'm calling attention now unto some charts that I have arranged that I want to get in time for him to notice them and to examine the arguments of them. We'll take them in the order in which they come here. Here is a chart contrasting here the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant was given back here by Moses, John 1:17. The law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Zechariah 11:10-13, I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that is the crucifixion of Christ, that I might break my covenant, which I have made with all people. And it was broken in that day. And so, that is the prediction in the Old Testament, that Testament would come to an end, that it would cease as a system of law. Not only so, but Jeremiah 31:31-34, God predicted and prophesied, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. In Hebrews 8:6-13, Paul says, looking back to that of Christ, that he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then it should no place have been sought for the second. But finding fault with it, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and put this prophecy, such moves the earth. And then closes the chapter by urging them, in view of these facts, that which waxeth old is laid away. And hence the old covenant was to be taken away. And Isaiah 2:1-3, he said, the word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days, and Hebrews 1:3 says that Christ spoke to us in the last days. My friend hadn't noticed that yet. He said it shall come to pass in the last days, might have begun on Pentecost, that the mountain of the Lord's house should be established in the top of the mountains, should be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for our designs will go forth the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Hence the new covenant will go forth from Jerusalem, and Mount Zion by in Jerusalem. And hence the prediction that the new covenant would have its beginning, and people would then, all nations, have access unto the fruit of God from Jerusalem, the new covenant. And again, in Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, he tells us. In 7:13-14, while he describes the ascension of Christ, and says, they brought him near before him, that's God, the answer to base, and that has given him a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and it does not pass away. And Daniel, just pulled that one. Now we're going on the other side, showing that the Old Testament, as a system of law, has passed away, the whole system, as for that matter. And we read therefore in the first one, Hebrews 9:15-17, the testament is of course after many days. Otherwise, the most great of all while it says with it, so the New Testament went forth after the death of Christ, before his death, and under the old law. Galatians 3:19-25, he said, of the law it was added because of transgression till the seed should come. That's till Christ should come. It is not intended to last forever, like my friend thinks it is here. Until the seed should come. And Galatians 3:16 said, the seed is Christ. Till the seed should come, to whom the promise is made. And he said, wherefore then saith the Lord? That's what my friend doing tonight. There's not one command, there's not one approved example in the New Testament for the use of instrumental music in church worship, and there's no necessary instrument for it. And yet he wants to go back and bring it into Christianity. Then again, why, wherefore, sir, with the law, it was added because of transgression till the seed should come. And then he goes on to say, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But after that, the faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. We're no longer under the law. Galatians affirms that in Galatians 3:9-25. Galatians 4:9-11, I'm afraid of you, you observe days and years and months and seasons, those things will be all about that, lest I bestow upon you labor in vain. Paul was afraid of those folks when they began to try to observe the old law, and that was no command that those things had been taken away, and as such, directly at that time. But then again, in Galatians 4:21, he said, tell me ye that desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? I'm going to ask my friend that same question. Tell me you, sir, who desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? That demands circumcision, animal sacrifices, and everything back there. Listen to Galatians 5:1-4. There he said, stand fast in the liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, you are indebted to do the whole world. If you go back there for one thing, not in the New Testament, like circumcision, then you are indebted to practice everything back there. Paul, that puts that system. That's the enforced. That's according to you, to be a consistent man. Colossians 2:14-16, calling out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Instead of just taking out this and taking out that, and taking it out a little piece at a time, he took the whole thing away at one time, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And whether from there to us, put it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And Ephesians 2:14-16, he is our peace who has made both one, broken down the middle, wrought a partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law, a commandment containing ordinances, that he might make himself in the twain one new man, so making peace. And so he took the whole thing away and did it at once. Romans, we read there in the 7th chapter, 4th verse, we are dead to the law by the body of Christ. Not only dead to certain parts of it, which have been taken away, and which have been the nail of the cross, and you're still alive for the rest of it, and still married, partly married to the old husband. He's not all dead yet, and you'll have to listen to him in part, but you're dead at the moment, with the body of Christ. And in verse 6, you're delivered from the law, that being dead carrying you ahead. That old husband's dead. He illustrated it by a second marriage, and the wife being loose from that first husband. And then, in John 1:17, the Lord gave a boldness, but grace and truth came in Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 6:14, ye are not under the law, but under grace. And grace and truth came to Jesus Christ, and the Lord gave a boldness, he just said. And then in Acts 15:24, for as much as certain go out and Moses and testify that you must be circumcised, keep the law of Moses, to whom we gave no such command. New Testament apostles, New Testament church in Jerusalem gave no such instruction. Tell any preacher to go out and preach the law like my friend does. In Galatians 3:9-11, as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. The curse of God rests on you. We'll go back to that old abrogated system like that. For a father to do something that's not in the New Testament. Now that's the truth about it, my friends. And all about that heart's in heaven. Yes, and there's incense up there too, in connection with the hearts. Revelation 5:8-5-8. And we're going to have that in the worship. But of course, he's not going to intending to answer my arguments. He doesn't even take notes on me. So that's the keeper. And he just doesn't intend to reply. He just wants to make his little saying and his little speech and get my tag and run. That's the way he does. Now then, in the light of that, if we're going to have everything in the church today that they'll have up in heaven, then we'll just have to and have things in the church like it is in heaven. We'll have to be really married. In Luke 20:34-35, while he said, in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Well, he's trying to make the church like heaven, to have the instruments in the church so as to make it like heaven, or outdoor marriage so as to make the church like heaven. And so there's not a command in the New Testament to use instrumental music in worship, and that's not an approved example of it in the New Testament church, and there's not a necessary inference in the New Testament under which we live, Paul. And 2 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, he has made us able ministers of the New Testament. And Hebrews 9:15 says of Christ, and he is the mediator of the New Testament. So he used Christ and goes back to Moses needs the blood of Christ, just like the animal blood, and there's no better blood on his instrumental music than the blood of animals. It's not in the New Covenant, dedicated with Christ's blood. This is the New Testament, my blood, Matthew 26 and 28, and Luke 22 and 20. And so then, he has fallen from grace, for Paul said, if you be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace, Galatians 5 and 4. And so then, telling you the desire to be under the law, they are not where they are. And as many, Romans 3 and 19 to 21, that's where the law said, it said to them that are under the law. And so he's going back and got under the law so that the law talked to him. Thank you very much for listening.
I thought my opponent would speak while the Bible speaks tonight and keep silent where it's silent. And he said I should make clear my proposition. I think I made it clear to the people out there. If he'd been listening, he would have heard it too. He said he really clarified his the other night, but not to all the people, brother, because it never was clear to me. The law, he spent his time talking about the law. What did I say about the law? Absolutely nothing. Does he not know the difference in the law and the prophets? The Bible said the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, not the law. Yes, the law was fulfilled. And the covenant, the old covenant, brother, according to Exodus 34 and 28, it's not the old Bible, they said, even my ten commandments. That was the old covenant fulfilled. He quoted about the new covenant a while ago, but he doesn't believe. He stopped off the rest of that, he doesn't believe. New covenant I'll make not like the one I made with you when I took from the heaven and led out of Egypt. This is the covenant I'll make with you on that day. Your man shall go forth in the dance rejoicing the virgin. I'll take away sorrow and sighing. I'll march ahead with joy and with gladness. That is under the new covenant. He said, now if God's going to have music in heaven, he's got to have everything else in there. Well, the subject's not everything else, brother, it's music. If God said everything else would be there, it'll be there. But didn't say everything else, but he said music will be there. Why don't you stick with the subject? Let me continue wherever we were in Ephesians 5 and 19 a while ago. Paul mentioned two kinds of song. One, the hymn, which is a song of devotion, such as Amazing Grace. Then a spiritual song with an evangelistic aspect, such as Our Lord Return to Earth Again. Whether therefore the song be devotional or evangelistic, he commands that the first speak with the song so as to make melody. To speak with the song today is equivalent to saying, give the key, the pitch, of the chord. Why? So we can sing in harmony and make melody. In James 5 and 13, any among the afflicted, let him pray, in the merry, let him sing psalms or sing with the harp. As the definition we've given plainly, and we'll have some more later. It is suggested that song with music will aid the afflicted in being healed. Even the Lord's Supper was followed with a song. If you will examine the word hymn in Mark 14, 26, the original, you will find that it is a song. The song for this very sacred occasion, no doubt, was a hymn, but accompanied by music, it became a song. While it is true the Lord's Supper is to be very solemn, it is not to be sorrowful. For Jesus said concerning the Lord's Supper and feet washing, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. John 13, 17. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and in heaven also, we will have music. Everyone redeemed will have a harp. Revelation 5 and 8. The redeemed will be heard harping upon their harps. Revelation 14, 2 and 4. The hearts of God. Revelation 15 and 2. One statement and some questions. If you write fast, maybe you can take these down. All scripture is good for doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16. Music before the Lord Moses. Genesis 31, 27. Singing and music from Genesis 31, 27 to Revelation 15, 2 and 3. The assembly called with music. 2 Corinthians 15 and 24. They praised the Lord on the instrument. Praised him on the instrument. 1 Chronicles 23 and 5. In the New Testament, they taught with instruments. Colossians 3, 16. Teaching one another in song. In other words, have a music school and teach the people how to play the song. They spoke one to another on the instrument of music, Ephesians 5 and 19. They prophesied on the instrument, 1 Chronicles 25 and 1. Music in the battle against the enemy, Gideon and Joshua White. Victory in the battle with music, Exodus 15, 20 and 21. The prophet inspired to preach by music, 2 Kings 3:16. The sick aided by music, James 5, 13 and 15. Saul made a new man, filled with the Holy Spirit, in a musical program, 1 Samuel 10, 1 and 6. Evil spirits, emphasis on evil spirits, driven out by music, 1 Samuel 16, 23. Paul played and sung with the instrument, 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. Instruments in the church, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Music at the Lord's Supper, see him in margin. Mark 16, 26. Gentiles rejoice and sing and play the instruments. See the original Greek in Romans 15, 9 and 11. Music was ordained and commanded of God. 2 Chronicles 29, 25. Music is of God. 2 Chronicles 29, 25 and Revelation 15 and 2, the words of God, both in the New and the Old Testament. Music, holy music, is not of the devil. 1 Samuel 16, 23. No music in hell. Music in heaven. Revelation 15, 1 and 4. Dead in Christ will be raised by music of the trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. The General Assembly will be summoned by music. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. And all of the beings can have an instrument and can play. Revelation 5, 8, and 9. Here are some clippings from the literature handed to me by members, ministers, and friends in the Church of Christ. You will see that I have the name of the city and the town and the state. It starts off by saying both sides those who advocate the use of instrumental music in public assemblies of the church, and those who denounce it as sin, will agree that the strife over this question has no doubt caused the loss of thousands of precious souls for which Christ died. Therefore, we know that this strife is brought about by the devil for the purpose it has accomplished. Then, since the Church of Christ has been divided against itself, an end of strife and contention has been wrought among God's people over this question, no gospel preacher or any other Christian with a burden on his heart for lost souls and any zeal for the cause of Christ can very well ignore the strife with a shrug of indifference. Certainly no such decision is so great of importance can be made fair and just without spending much time in sincere and earnest prayer, asking God for his divine help in removing this prejudice feeling and giving us an open mind and a desire for the truth. I believe that the question discussed in the 14th chapter of Romans is a parallel to the question concerning instrumental music. I would suggest that this chapter be read several times prayerfully. From the basis of such study, the author has come to the following conclusion from an unbiased study. First, the use of instrumental music in the assemblies of the church cannot be sin. Church of Christ minister with the church, his name and address, if you want to see it. I might add here, still quoting, that most of those who teach it as a sin do not practice what they preach. For a pitch pipe or a tuning fork is an instrument used for the most part for the same purpose, to obtain the proper sound, the tune, in the singing of spiritual songs. The Bible plainly states that there will be musical instruments in heaven, Revelation 5 and 8, Revelation 14, 1 and 3, and 15, 2 and 3. There is certainly nothing sinful in heaven, nor would anything that is sinful in the assembly of the Lord's people here be used as a type to illustrate anything in heaven. There is no mention of any kind of music in hell except that of weeping and wailing. Those that are so bitter against calling the lost people to gather for a few notes on a musical instrument might also profit by noticing it is revealed in God's word that he himself will call the last assembly by the musical instrument. 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. 1 minute. These are only a few of the many places where the Bible sanctions the use of instrumental music. There is not one passage from Genesis to Revelation that condemns instrumental music in the assembly of God's people. To say that instrumental music used in the assembly of the church is anything other than an innocent aid to singing, and hence to the convenience of the conveying of the thought, a message to human listeners, is ignorant, and to do so declare is without understanding of one of the basic principles of Christianity.
Moderators, ladies and gentlemen, you listen so well, I love to talk to you. First of all, I want to ask my friend if he will please examine these scriptures that I quoted. I didn't just get up here and assert and say this scripture teaches it and this scripture teaches it, but I presented these scriptures, and he signed an agreement with me that we will be governed by the accepted rules of Honorable Controversy. And Hedges' rules are the most prominently used, popular rules. And it says, whatsoever proofs are advanced on either side are to be examined in all fairness and candor. And he has not even attempted that. And here's 5 nights of discussion gone, and he rarely ever takes note, just gets up here and talks around at random, doesn't seem to even know he's in a debate, thinks that he's just lecturing to his folks, or something like that, on a Sunday. I wish he would notice my arguments and give us the benefit of his great knowledge if he can prove that the whole system of Old Testament law is not by way. Let him try. He made one assertion here that I want to notice, however, concerning a matter, if I can find it here. I believe I'll use that right now. That was, he said, the prophet said that the instruments of music will be there. I suspect that he was referring to the 87th Psalm. The last verse of that psalm said the players of instruments shall be there, but where is the there? It was in Zion, old Zion, when the Jews would return from captivity, that the players of instruments would be there. He said, the foundation of the whole mountains, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jerusalem. Gates of Zion. Church doesn't have any gates. Different ways to come in. You come in this way and somebody else some other way. Paul said, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and says that Christ is ahead of the body of the church. Colossians 1:18. There's one way to get into that. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, and that is a literal Jerusalem. Glorious things are prophesied concerning their return and the blessedness of Zion, and to the Jews it is so sacred still. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me, the old Philistian Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. Now they're going to be born there, not as a place, Jerusalem. The church is not a place where you can see a person's born there. And it has no reference to the church of our Lord. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Not born into her, but born in her. Do you have a new birth in the church? Will the new birth take place in the church for which you remember, for which you preach? Are people born in that church instead of into it? If you are born in it, then it is essential to salvation. If they're born without getting into it in the new birth, it's a denomination, and I think he has admitted that already. And of Zion it should be said, this and that man is born in her, the highest himself shall establish her. He would establish this people when they had returned thus from captivity. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. When he writeth up the people, and when they returned from captivity, they were written up to see who was entitled to the priesthood and the like. And when as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there, all my springs are in thee. And the players on instruments here in the American Standard Version says, they that dance as well as they that sing. And not a word about players on instruments. The correct translation of it. So he loses that. I will read, I believe, a few verses here showing that they did ride up the people when they returned. I have sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy. But they were not found, therefore were they polluted from, put from the priesthood. And then again, the whole congregation together was 42,300. There he is writing up the people as they returned, beside their servants and their maids, of whom there were 7,337. There were among them 200 singing men and singing women. And then he talks about the number of the horses and the camels, and says that some of the chiefs of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in its place. They're reestablishing it as they thus returned. And then he said, God put it into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. He is writing up the people, and the whole thing has reference to fulfillment of something in the Old Testament. And there's not a prophecy in the Old Testament that there'd be praying in the New Testament church. Your proposition says in the church today, and you haven't touched it. You have wasted your ammunition there. I will come back and notice carefully some things that he said. Said the law did not include the prophets. So the prophets then were not under the law. But everybody knows better than that. That doesn't need any reply. And then he reiterated his argument on Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, without noticing my argument that it had been fulfilled in Hebrews 8 and 6 to 13. And says that music is to be there, and I've just now answered that. And they were to sing with a harp, Psalm 98, 5, but you said the church. You made us think you were going to talk about the church of the New Testament. Christ said, I will build my church. Matthew 16, 18. And that church is not back there. And that has nothing to do with the church. It has no relation to it than last year's almanac. John 13 and 7. I didn't mean to be funny about that. I just wanted to drive the point home. And he had to get off on feet washing again. I didn't pay any attention to it the other day because he's off of it, but I'm going to knock him off the Christmas tree on back. As well, I'm not going to let you get by if you just keep bringing up some false doctrine like that, whether it's on subject or not. In John 13, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and in 16 and 17, if you know these things like that, happier ye if you do them. He washed dirty feet that they might be clean. Goodspeed's translation of verse 10 says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, the rest of his body being clean. And so then they're washing dirty feet. Then that is not a religious service, a religious ordinance. And then it's only mentioned one time after the church is established, and that's in 1 Timothy 5 and 10. And of the word it says, if she have washed the saints' feet, and if she have lodged strangers, and if she has washed the saints' feet, it follows the lodging of strangers there, and it's in a home. And there's no account of any church ever coming together to wash feet. I challenge you to produce a case in the New Testament where a church ever came together to wash feet. And then he goes to Revelation again, but paid no attention to my argument that if we're going to have to make the church like heaven, then we'll have to have incense in it. For incense is mentioned here, same as instrumental music. And then you'll have to do away with marriage in order to... But he says the instruments are not of the devil. Well, incense is not of the devil either. And marriage is not of the devil. And animal sacrifices are not of the devil. And Passover is not of the devil. The Sabbath is not of the devil. Do you think all those things were of the devil? Why, God gave that. The Lord gave it to Moses. God gave it to Moses. John 1, 17. And then he reads about music, 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 and he says, and comes to one New Testament passage finally. These are Old Testament passages he's referring to. James 5:13. If any be male, let him sing. And he said that, he just asserted that that was to comfort the sick. That instrument of music there was to comfort and soothe and aid the sick. And yet the proposition says in the worship, it's not talking about the sick. Man, I don't see how on earth you can stay away from the proposition much as you do, even if you were skilled in it. He said, Paul played and sang. Now, if your life depended on it, you couldn't find where anybody in the New Testament ever played anything or sung anything like this. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 14, 15, those of you that have your testaments of Bible, look at it. 1 Corinthians 14, 15, I will pray. Didn't say play. But I will pray. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. I just wonder if he read that thinking that that was play. He surely did. Surely he wouldn't have the monumental call to stand up here and pervert the Scripture and say a thing's in a passage when he knows it isn't all. So he must be deceived about it. And that's why I'm trying to help him. And it said music, 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 yes, but every time he found it in the Old Testament. He hasn't found one single passage in the church. He found it in the Old Testament. When God wanted it back by, he commanded it. And when he didn't want it in the New Testament, he didn't authorize it. And then, if he wants it in heaven, and if that's literal music up there, why, he can have it up there. He'll fix heaven like he wants it, and he'll not be like a church because he won't have any marriages up there. Luke 20 and 34 to 36, a passage that I challenge him to notice, but it won't do any good to challenge him. And then again, he said there'll be a trumpet, and that he came to the New Testament again. And that the trumpet will sound down at the end of the age, at the end of time, to raise the dead when we get through with the church. He's supposed to be proving something. It's for the church now, today, he said. But it goes down to the judgment at the end of time instead. And then a trumpet is not a musical instrument anyway. It's more a musical instrument than a police whistle. Not a bit more. While when I was traveling in the Holy Land, I saw a man with one of those big old cow horns that must have been nearly as long as a man's arm. And that, I didn't hear him blow the thing, but the guy that was here with me, he saw that, he's with me. And I didn't hear him blow the thing, but I'm sure he couldn't have played a tune on that thing. There's no music made by a trumpet. You don't even know what a trumpet is, sir. I judge you don't. And then he wants to prove it, prove his proposition by a lot of ministers. First of all, I challenge you to give the name of the ministers. You're going to enter them into the debate. Their names ought to be given so that they can appear in the printed book and that people may contact them and get some benefit of their great wisdom. But I'm not afraid to debate him and all the ministers and everybody in the city if he wants to raise them up on his side. All of them together can't find the command of the New Testament for Christians to, in the church, use mechanical, instrumental music worship. And all of them combined can't find where a church ever assembled together and use mechanical, instrumental music in their worship. And all of them combined can't find a necessary inference in the New Testament for it. And then he said concerning these ministers that they said that there's division over this. There ought not to be any division over it. There ought not to be any division over it and the like. But there's division over sprinkling. Are you going to give up immersion and go back to sprinkling so there wouldn't be any division over it? Are you going to give up believer's baptism and go back to baby baptizing in order to not have any division over it? There's division over the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, division between us and the Jews on that. Are you going to give up Jesus Christ and join with the modernists in order to have division? And then he said something about there's
our
no
public secret. Address system is out of order. Can you talk louder?
All right, I'll do my best. He said something about there being no sin in the use of instrumental music. No sin in it. But there is sin in it. In Old Testament times, when people violated God's law, it was sin. Made them in a bayou. Took a strange fire that God had not commanded. Fire that was not off the altar as he authorized it in 16 and 12. They took strange fire and burnt incense in their worship. And fire came down from God and devoured them. They died in their worship because God said it was not what he had commanded. And that they might know to put different between the clean and the unclean, verse 10. And Moses is not allowed to enter the promised land because of the fact that God said, speak unto the rock, and he smote it. That's sin. When you change God's law, it is sin. 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, of course, a man doesn't have God, it's because he's a sinner. And hence, you don't have God when you thus do it. He quoted 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scriptures given the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine. And so you just go back there and prove anything you want to. You can prove animal sacrifices right today. You can prove circumcision, incense, burning, Sabbath day keeping, Passover keeping. Christ is a Passover keeper, a Sabbath keeper during his personal ministry. And you can just prove it's right because Christ did it. But all of that is nailed to the cross, and we're under a new covenant. And he has not found in that new covenant one single statement authorizing instrumental music and worship of the church. I challenge you to look for it now and quit dodging and playing around all over the whole field. Get down to the task. It doesn't condemn that in so many words saying thou shalt not. It doesn't say thou shalt not sprinkle babies. It doesn't say thou shalt not have baby membership in the church. It doesn't say thou shalt not burn incense in worship.
It doesn't say thou shalt not keep a Sabbath day. No, but it authorized the first day of the week, and he even gave that up largely a while ago. Said you couldn't prove that Sunday's the first day of the week. God bless you, sir. You go home and get your wife to let you look at her calendar. Just look over on the left-hand side, and the first day is the first day of the week. And it says Sunday, first day of the week is Sunday, and Saturday is the last day of the week. And if you'll read Exodus 20 and 10, it says, the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And if you'll read Mark 16, 1 and 2, verily on the morning of the first day of the week, after the Sabbath is passed. And so it's the next day after the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is the seventh day. And Deuteronomy 5, 14 says the same thing. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples lay by in store and so on. And in Acts 20 and 7, on the first day of the week. Bless your soul, you need to study your Bible, it looks to me like. Then again, he says that the aids to be scriptural. Aids scriptural or not scriptural and so on, but that's a repetition. I need not prove that further again and again. The church is not mentioned building a church house. Doesn't have to be, because the thing being done is assembly. That's the thing that's authorized, is to assemble. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews 10, 25. When the whole church, therefore, be come together in one place, 1 Corinthians 14, 23, he doesn't authorize the place, other than just in a generic term, authorizing the assembly. The command to assemble necessitates some place, and he left that to the judgment of the people. It's a matter of opinion, it's a matter of indifference, a matter of expediency, just like the songbook and the tuning form. But that's aiding us to do something he commanded, which is assemble. Now you go build a house to do something God Almighty didn't authorize, and then there's no authority for it. That'd be different. And songs were the heart, but that was in the Old Testament. He was reading the Old Testament. He quit telling you where they were, hoping you would think some of these these references about praying would be in the New Testament. I tell you, not one of them is in the New Testament. Not one. Then he read about revelation, harps and music and the like over in heaven when we get there and the like, but he didn't live up to his proposition to find it in the church. He can find it in heaven and in the Old Testament, but he can't find it in the New Testament church where his proposition says it is. And then again, he paid no attention, like I told you he wouldn't and couldn't, to my argument that they'll have no marriages recognized in heaven. They'll not be marrying nor given in marriages. And he says we ought to have the church like heaven, so, and therefore have instrumental music in the church so as to make it like heaven. All right, how about doing away with marriage down here so as to make the church like heaven? Did he pay any attention to it? He wished he could, but he couldn't. And he knew it. Says Ephesians 5:19, making melody in the heart. Yes, melody there is from sorrow. In other words, we're to sing. And then he says, sorrowing in your heart. He didn't say sorrowing in a H-A-R-P, but H-E-A-R-T. God mentioned the instrument, and it's the heart. That's the instrument to be used in connection with our worship, and we sing. That same verse says sing, and it doesn't say one word about play. It says singing and making melody in your H-E-A-R-T. God mentioned the heart as the instrument. When God mentioned water as the element in which to baptize, that excludes oil and buttermilk and the like. And when God mentioned the heart as the instrument, that excludes his mechanical, homemade, man-made instruments in the worship of the church. So down he goes on Ephesians 5. And the translators, yes, there's 26 translations I've examined. I've never seen a translation that would translate any command in the New Testament to play on a mechanical instrument in church worship. There isn't any such translation as far as I know. They all say sing, make melody of your heart and light. He'd have brought them up here if he'd had them. And then we notice God ordained it before Moses, yes, and had animal sacrifices back there before Moses too. And had incense back there, and circumcision back there. Had circumcision rather than incense back there. Does that authorize us? They didn't have it back there before Moses. but did have the instrumental music back there, and therefore we can have it tonight. All right, they had animal sacrifices back there. May we have that in the worship of the church? Thank you very much for listening, and may God bless you, everyone. Hope and pray that you come tomorrow night. I want to talk to you about God Almighty, why we should believe in Him and believe the Bible, and therefore come. And then Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and I'll be talking about some grave dangers that are facing the church and the world. Sunday night on John 3:16.